Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio is Paddy Bordier. How are you, Paddy?
Hey, I'm very good.
Fantastic to have you here. And replacing Lucy Zalich tonight is Paddy's daughter, Zara.
Yes, three-week-old Zara, sitting very quietly in the corner. I did have some discussion with her before, not so much about the A-League. She's more learning about the fabulous midfield of Platini, Gires, Tigana and Ferdinand.
Very
Fernandez,
good.
Actually.
Nice little bit of style there coming into...
Well, you know, it's important to bring kids up right these
that's
days.
That's right, and she's already brought more class to the show than Lucy. We just, Lucy. Okay, well, we're going to talk football all non-stop for the next half hour, and of course you can contact us on flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. Get the correct spelling through the blog, www.nearpost.blogspot.com, where you can find the podcast, of course, and also on iTunes and on the halftimeheroes.com.au. Another place to find the podcast. So we dedicate the show every week. This week, well, before we do, we're on the march to the football finals and we can't wait, and no pun in there. Dedicate the show to Steve Pantelidis. Steve, we'd like to say, Steve Pantelidis of the Gold Coast, thanks for the season.
Good one. Nice one, Steve.
Nice one, Steve. And I hope you're enjoying your holiday as we speak.
Took one for the team.
One for the team. He's
dealt one out for the team, I think. It's probably more appropriate.
You know, he's done a bit. He's had a tough season. He's missed a few games, but he's going to miss a few more. Of course, he got a bit of a punch on the boy Robbie Cruz's head. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that in a moment. And there is actually, I think he was actually unfairly treated, but we'll come to that in a moment.
We will.
The quiz question, Paddy.
Right,
is,
fire away. Zara and I are ready.
Well, Zara, obviously you've been telling her all about the style of football that you like to watch and play with that French midfield. So tonight we're going to focus more on the theme of, perhaps some would say, the A-League, not I, but we started off with a bit of a Steve Pantelidis touch. We left out Kevin Muscat, but we are going to focus on who are the five, your top five, not your top five, but officially the top five dirty, most fouling animals in the A-League. So have a think about that if you're listening out there. Who are the top five most fouling animals in the A-League?
Who's top of the A-League and who's coming last? The near post, get there fast.
Okay, Steve Pantelidis is taking a bit of a break early. You know, some people are going off on loan. He's just having a rest. So anyway, Paddy, who are the top five? And I'll give you a clue first up, because you know, a lot of people would have thought Steve Pantelidis would have been right up there, but he's not in the top five. Any ideas who is?
Okay, I'm thinking combative sort of defender, midfielders, Australian specialities. Yep. Is Craig Moore in there?
Craig Moore not in there, no.
Craig Moore's not in there.
No, he's probably there in the Greece League because he's been sent off already over there.
That's
but
right.
He's not here yet.
He's holding up the stats in Greece. All right.
He should be in there, actually, now that I think about it. But yeah,
he should be.
He's
yeah.
not in the top five.
All right. How about we go for Perth Glory? They've got a combative midfield, Jacob Burns.
Known as a hacker, yeah. Jacob Burns, good one. Yeah, he is in second position with 55 fouls this season.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Some would
say
himself
that's
busy.
Well, no, I'd say it's only 55. Yeah. Think about all the ones he didn't get caught for.
Yeah. Pick your act up, Jacob. We need some more.
Yeah. No, don't worry. They'll be coming. It's finals football coming up. Who else?
All right. What about Vince's cousin, Simon Colosimo?
Simon Colosimo. Yep. He's right in there. Where is he? I don't know where he is. He's up in the top five anyway. He's number three. Simon Costa comes in with 53 fouls, just behind Jacob Burns. He could make a late run for the top spot.
Right.
I'll give you one.
Okay. Yeah, give me a hint, because I'm running out. Central, apart from Tiatto, maybe?
Danny, no, he hasn't played enough games. You know, he gets a lot in training, apparently. But Central Coast Mariners, they've got a representative in there.
Central Coast Mariners?
Yeah.
I've no idea. The defender, Bocic?
Yeah, Pej Bocic. He's in there with 49 fouls. And he's probably doing well, you know, on a sort of a game per foul ratio, because he's missed a few games. So
he's holding his end up.
He certainly is. North Queensland Fury, anybody who's got an ex-Rangers coach, you'd expect to have one or two of their players in the top five, and they don't disappoint. They've got a player in there. Perhaps not somebody you would expect, but...
Right, OK. Not Fowler?
No, he's been too slow to get to... to make the foul.
Yeah, all right. Right, yes, sir, yes, you're right. He's not actually in the tackle.
No, you've got to get in there, haven't you?
McBreen, I'm talking...
No, not McBreen.
Oh, who we got there?
We've got Robbie Middleby coming in. Yeah, now that is a surprise, isn't it?
I wouldn't have thought he'd play. Has he played that regularly? And he's defender, isn't he? He's not so much...
No, it is a bit of a worry.
Because where you want to be giving away your fouls is in the middle of the park where the free kicks can't hurt you. You don't want to be giving them around the box. Well, maybe this is why North Queensland are down in the bottom of the table.
I am a bit surprised that he's there. But anyway, who's the first, top one?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Give me a hint.
Okay, it's not Kevin Muscat. And everyone out there is going, Kevin Muscat, it's not Kevin Muscat.
Wow, it's not Kevin Muscat. No. Wow.
It's not Craig Moore, according to this list anyway, that I'm looking at.
Are you sure you're on the right list?
It's not John Aloisi.
Okay, give me the team.
Shane Smeltz.
Shane Smeltz?
Yeah, how about that?
Silky skills attacker.
How can that be? Oh, maybe someone's hacked the A-League website.
An Australian.
I was talking to the editor of Halftime Heroes, Con Stamakostas. He's outraged by Shane Smeltz and the tackles that he's been doing. Because if you notice, though, if you remember recently, he got into the Neil Young keeper, the Newcastle Jets keeper, with a bit of a flick.
Yeah.
And he also got into Ian Fyfe with a bad crop on
right,
the half.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has done a few...
He's up front, he throws himself about.
And as we say, Shane's coming. Watch out, world. Because he'll be there in the World Cup doing his best. But I just flicked him. I mean, I've been stumbling a bit, partly because I've been looking down the list to see where your man Craig Moore was.
Mm.
And
my man.
Well, yeah. And you know what? I can't find him on the list.
No, come on.
Do they take players off through the league?
Yeah, maybe they've taken him. They wiped him from the books.
I'm down to Zenon Caravella, 67. David Williams, 69. And there's still no sign of Craig Moore. You know, Danny Teate's there on 19.
You see, the thing is, Eamon, it's quality, not quantity.
Clearly.
When Craig Moore goes in for a tackle, it's a tackle.
It is, but he's not there. 15 fouls, Michael Bridges. He's only been here 3 weeks. And there's still no... Bob Malcolm's even there at 40, and he was sure he's too slow to make a foul. But, no, I don't know, so I don't know where... And get this. Ben Kantorowski is on 12 fouls, and yet he's got about 7 yellow cards.
Right, when he fouls.
When he does, when he does it good, doesn't he?
Yeah, fantastic.
So, yeah, okay, right. Well, that's enough of the positive side of the game, although I'm sure Ross Aloisi would be delighted to see the number of fouls. I'm fascinated by this list now. But anyway, there you go. And the player with the least number of fouls is, well, there's a whole heap on one, but I guess I'll give you Tim Schmidt, Stephen Lustiger, Nathan Aloisi, obviously Michael Franti. You know, what are they doing? Massimo Madoka. Now, he's only got one foul. For a midfielder, that's a disgrace.
Yeah, that's,
isn't it? Lift your game. I know you've had a broken leg, Massimo.
In the great tradition of combative Australian midfielders, really, he has to start fouling a little bit more, I think.
He's only got the same as Clint Bolton.
He'll never get in the World Cup squad.
Okay.
Never.
He'll never make it. Okay, that's it. Now we've got some news. What have we got? The new Melbourne team for 2010 will be called... Melbourne Heart. Wow, that's amazing announcement. And there is rumoured to be talking to Mark Viduka, although we've got no idea what about.
Pie shop locations, perhaps?
Possibly. I mean, you wouldn't want to be talking to him, actually, because if he hasn't played for a year...
Yeah.
He's not...
Well, it's difficult, he's on that satellite phone in the middle of... he's on his yacht in the middle of a sea somewhere.
No, he's home. He's home at the moment.
Is he home?
Yeah, apparently him and Harry are back in town. Scott McDonald leaves Celtic for Middlesbrough. And this is probably Scott's true level in this... Celtic man's opinion. He was okay for Celtic, but I don't think he was good enough for the mighty hoops. And hopefully he goes a little bit better in Middlesbrough.
Listeners to the Near Post will, I think, in the next few weeks notice a dramatic fall in Celtic discussion levels.
Former Celtic player Michael McGlinchey leaves the Mariners on loan for Motherwell as he makes a bid for his World Cup place with New Zealand, so, and to keep fit. So good luck to him. Harry Kewell, apparently it's all okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, Harry will get the World Cup.
Harry.
Groin's okay. Timmy Cahill scores for Everton. Does anyone care? Mm. But who did he dedicate his latest goal to?
Ooh, Timmy Cahill.
Yeah, always dedicates a goal.
Yeah,
he's
good with the dedications.
Yeah,
isn't
it might be probably Haiti this time, would you think?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing, it's relevant, it's topical.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
Oh, you don't know?
I have no idea.
Right, yes, well, let's just assume Haiti.
There you go. No? If it's not his brother in jail, it's somebody, isn't it? Patrick Cliver, the new Raw Marquee. Couldn't believe it. You know, he came out, 8,000 people turned up, thousands turned up to see him, but didn't play.
Unfortunate.
They didn't
bring
him on.
That they wouldn't put the marquee on.
No, I couldn't believe it. They set him on the bench. Maybe it's a new trend, like with Robbie Fowler, you just put your marquee on the bench. And,
yes.
It's a bigger story.
It's not about how you have on the pitch, it's who you keep on the bench.
That's right. Kate Ellis, fantastic, the federal member for South Australia and First Minister for Sport. I don't know who the Dingbats were on Radio 5AA in Adelaide. They were they loathed to call the World Game football and kept calling it soccer, which is fine. We've got no problem with that. But they kept going on about what a waste of money the bid for the World Cup was. But Kate, she socked it right to them.
Oh, did she?
So, yep, she gave
our
it to them.
Kate, I think you'll find she's called.
She's
our Kate.
Now known as Our Kate. And if you want to find that interview, go to wherever 5AA. Yeah, Google 5AA and you'll hear it.
Put it in the Google machine. Yep.
And, of course, Matthew Leckie is our World Cup bolter. You
when
heard
you say
it here on
our World Cup bolter, are you including me in that?
Yeah.
I think that might be a point of some discussion later on. I don't know that he's my World Cup bolter.
Okay, well, it will be by the end of the show, so...
I look forward to the argument you're going to mount on that one.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Panther Muscat fiasco. There's been a bit of argy-bargy in the A-League. Steve Pantelidis has been... he wasn't sent off, but he got 5 weeks.
Which, 5 weeks? At this stage of the season?
Yeah.
How many games has he got left then?
He's got two in the A-League, and that's probably does it, unless they get to the... Well, no, that's probably... Assuming that if they come first or second and they win, then he's only got five more games.
Right.
So he's done.
That's pretty much. He is gone.
If they lose the semi-final, then he would...
There's
get
a possibility
game.
Of him coming back for the grand final.
If they make the grand final.
I've noticed in the media, just in the last few weeks, he was sort of talking himself up, you know, self-styled hard man...
Well, he is. I mean, he's the player with the most yellow cards in the A-League, and he's the player I love to hate.
But I think once you start talking yourself up like that, refs start to notice you a bit.
Well, he's an idiot.
Well, yes, there is
he
that.
He goes around and he just kicks people, and he doesn't just kick them after... if he's kick them once, he'll go and kick them immediately. There's no tactic to it. You know, you think Graham Souness and he'd kick you, or Roy Keane, they often would kick you, you know, in the first few minutes, then they'd probably kick you again later, and they'd certainly kick you the next game if you got them back. But there was usually a bit of, you know,
there's some style. It's the, how was Souness once described, the iron fist and the velvet glove. So you're saying that Pantelidis is all iron fist and no velvet glove?
I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. It's even a bit rusty, the iron.
Having said that, I've had a bit of a go at Steve, who I don't actually mind as a footballer in the sense that he's not a bad little player when he was playing at Melbourne Victory. You know, he sort of plays a nice pass and whatever. But when he concentrates on the the getting stuck in type mentality, I can't stand him. But I think he's been hard done by.
Yeah, I think he's paying for it now.
I think Robbie Crews actually gave him a little bit of biffo before... Panther lost the plot and hit him.
Okay.
And the whole focus is, no one's mentioned really about the Robbie Crews, but if you look at the action, it's all there on the SBS website. You can see the incident quite clearly. And Robbie, there's a bit of argy-bargy, and Robbie's hand goes up, and it probably wasn't as big a hit as a Muscat hit or a Pantelidis hit, but it's enough to sort of go, well, hang on, he's raised his arm.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how many people want to get stuck into Robbie Crews. What's all that about? Charlie Miller had a go at him. Pantelidis had a go at him.
Could it be that Robbie Crews isn't the most popular person in the A-League?
I think he's possibly the most hated. Now, Muscat was also got a bit of a... Well, he didn't get any action in the game, but he did a quick swivel of the elbow to Jason Chalina.
The Muscat special, I think. I've seen it a couple of times before.
Now, it is amazing that this guy hasn't been sent off more times in his A-League career, but he's going to get two games, apparently. But he's appealing. So if he does appeal, he could be increased.
So Muscat's appealing, but Pantelidis is not appealing.
Well, Pantelidis, I mean...
Come on, five games. Surely if he appeals to and gets it to four games, then he gets to go in the grand final.
No, he's got no chance. I mean, Muscat's got a chance because he can argue that he was running away from play and he was just swinging his arms, but, you know...
Right, yeah.
You know, he's got more chance. Whereas Panther, even if Panther wasn't the first man in, he certainly he did it.
Now, Muscat's a canny player. He might be just taking those two games off for a bit of a rest.
No, because he's appealing. So if he's appealing,
that's canny for you. He's so canny.
It could be increased to three.
Right.
So it could go the other way. So, I don't know. We're going to have to watch that one. But
too
Muscat,
canny
I think,
for me, Muscat.
I'm not so sure. For the first time in his life, I'm not so sure Muscat really deserves it. Did I say that?
Really? Even Zara woke up at that.
Yeah, well, I suppose. I don't know. I've seen him do worse every week, actually.
Yeah, seriously. But, I've seen the bottom of that man's boots more than a few times during games.
And I think Jason Kleiner went down well. I thought he did well. Because he didn't... Yeah, soft.
Interesting, the last couple of games, Kalina's really been taking some punishment. I think teams have decided that's the way to play him, to cut him down a bit.
That's what we like. Hey,
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Any bit of skill in the A-League will smack
cut
it down.
Cut him down.
In fact,
scything.
That's a really interesting thing, I think. I'd like to see the referees take more... they need to protect all the skillful players.
Right.
Particularly when there's an attack going on, somebody breaks away from play and someone just grabs them around the shoulder. Whatever. They should be much harder. I mean, people say we don't want yellow cards and red cards. I want more of them. I want them more often. And I want them for players who stop other players who are skillful. Any player who goes past someone is pulled down or pulled back with the shirt tucked, straight away yellow card. Because then you'd cut it out early in the game.
It's true, you know? But then you would also finish a lot of games with, say, 8 versus 7 players.
Only for 3 weeks.
But what a 3 weeks it would be.
But, you know, the A-League needs more players where you go, Tommy Orr goes past the one and he gets hacked down.
Yeah.
We need that. We need to see that opportunity. We don't need to see the hack, do we? We need to see the guy thinks twice about hacking him down, because that's what brings the crowds in, not the hack,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the hack slows up the play and then the chance is gone.
Melbourne versus Gold Coast on the weekend was all hacks.
It should have been a classic game, but
yep.
Maybe we're going to get more hacks as the final team comes around. Now, talking of hacks, we'll just go very briefly on the coaching merry-go-round that's starting. Ian Ferguson, rumoured to be on the way out at North Queensland Fury. Has he done a bad job? Should he be given the boot?
I can't imagine why there would be
him
this
or,
sort of discussion.
Him or Robbie.
Robbie, captain coach, coach.
Maybe just player, but saying I'm not playing under him.
Wow,
hey?
that's a lot of power.
Who's coming?
Marquee.
Laurie McKinnon is supposed to be taking
Laurie
over.
Laurie McKinnon, I cannot imagine that. Laurie McKinnon is well established where he is. Surely,
well, yeah, but he's been moved as. The Mariners have failed this year. You know, they failed. They're not in the top six. That's a failure. And he's been moved into the development officer, which is perhaps a retirement position if you like. So, you know, he might not fancy that.
Graham Arnold is a name that I've heard.
You'd like to
linked
see
to
him
that.
In the A-League, would you?
See, Graham Arnold, I think he's a very good assistant manager. I think he's a very good assistant manager for World Cups and international managers pushing the Socceroos through their competitions. But I don't know that I've seen a lot of Graham Arnold's performance as a single manager.
Well, now's the time to see it.
You think?
Well,
this
we want
risk?
To get him out of the Socceroos stage, don't we? His contract's up in 2010. It's time for Arnie to move on.
Here's my question to you: if you owned North Queensland Fury, Mr. Moneybags, Eamon, would you hire Graham Arnold as a coach? Apart from putting yourself in the position first, of course.
Well, if it's Arnie or Ian Ferguson, I don't think I'd go for the Australian.
Right. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
You would judge on that. You would choose on that basis.
Ian Ferguson only played.
I would look at their history and
Ferguson
their records.
Only played with Rangers. That doesn't count, does it?
I just don't think Arnold's done anything. Like, there's just no record to suggest there's any success coming with him managing the club.
But he has been involved in international football and been around some good coaches. So, you know, we need to get
that
experience.
That didn't show when he was looking after the Socceroos in the Asian Cup.
No,
that really didn't show.
No, but with his own team, he's got a chance to come in and stamp his own authority. I think when you're bringing in all those guys for the Asia Cup, in fairness, they're all superstars. Arnie was in the position as the nice guy on the heading to come in and be the boss man, and he had to try and persuade guys like Viduka to come back and play. You know, and the guys didn't really want to be there.
Right.
So I think
there is no way I'll put Arnie in any top level coaching role.
Just the Socceroos assistant job.
Just the Socceroos assistant is fine, because he's a good link.
Okay.
The boys like him, they know him, and I think that's the limit of his ability.
All right, well, there you go. You've
Harsh
spoken.
Words, I know.
No? We're all
what do you mean, no? I think they are.
Yep. Okay, so on the A-League on the weekend, Gold Coast beat Melbourne 1-0, of course, to go second in the table. Brisbane beat Sydney 1-0. What about that?
Yeah, how about that,
Sydney
eh?
Sydney blew it.
It's all Clivert.
Well, I think it's all, personally, it's all John Aloisi and Alex Bross. They missed the chances. They had plenty of chances. But though, having said that, the way Sergio van Dijk put that ball in, obviously the coaching that... he just thinking about the coaching
just
that Clivert was going to give it.
Yeah.
He just thought the hip flex is what you do.
That's right.
So, brilliant. But so Sydney could have blown it. Wellington, Phoenix, Adelaide United, 20,000 people.
Yeah, how about that?
I know, that's not an AFL crowd, but still 20,000 people.
I know.
In Christchurch.
And they look pretty damn cold as well. They all had their shirts off.
That seems
very strange for a Newcastle-like, you know. You turn up to a very cold match, you take your shirt off.
A-League should play in the summer, but they do, don't they?
Yes.
In every game in New Zealand, when do they have the summer?
It seems like it's winter there.
God help them in the winter.
Yeah.
And Perth Glory 3, Central Coast Mariners, the sad Central Coast 1, with Daniel McBreen scoring goals.
Perth Glory are hot right now.
He scored more for Perth Glory than he in three games, and he scored for... North Queensland in the season.
Imagine what he would do if Robbie Fowler joined Perth Glory.
Oh, mate. Now you're talking. All those English people in Perth would get out and see Robbie play.
They would too. But the goals would dramatically slow down.
No doubt. And the Central Coast Mariners, you know what's going to happen as soon as Daniel McBreen goes there.
There's no goals.
It's not even funny. It's sad. Okay, go on.
I'm very stunned to see McBreen scoring all those goals. It doesn't make sense why they got him when they've got Jamie Harnwell. I think Jamie Harnwell's the local boy. I think he's very good in front of goals. I thought that's the sort of player they were looking for. They've got McBreen.
Shows what I know.
All of a sudden, McBreen scored a goal, if not two goals again.
It does show what
ridiculous.
You know. Jamie Harnwell is rubbish.
But he's a local rubbish boy.
Yeah,
it goes a long way, I'll have you know. Why look at Jamie Carragher. Sorry, Amy.
That's true, yeah. Why North Queensland Fury, I think my very limited take on this is, why did they get rid of him? Maybe because they wanted to shed some of their wage bill.
You think so? You think McBreen was
He would have been on a reasonable wage. The fact that he went to Fury, coming back from England as a striker, I think he would have been on a reasonable wage. And I mean, maybe it's as simple as that. They thought, we need to cut some costs here.
I've seen the class of their players. They can't have too high a wage bill. Surely they wouldn't have paid too much for those guys.
No, but they're not making much money. And McBreen would have, you know, he would have probably had a bit of choice to say which club he wanted to go to. And, and Townsville at the time were trying to get anybody up there.
Yeah, they really were.
Weren't they?
Yep.
And maybe they had to pay over the odds.
And it made sense to get him, you know, a big player that could be a foil to Robbie Fowler.
Yes. Now, tonight, of course, well, Tuesday, this show goes live in Canberra on Tuesday, but it goes across Australia on Wednesday. So North Queensland Newcastle has been played for most Australian listeners, but for Canberra listeners, the game hasn't been played. So we're going to give you the score to the rest of Australia, bearing in mind that this show is on Tuesday. What is the score, Paddy?
I don't know.
Okay, North Queensland, I think they're going to lose 2-0.
You think they're going to lose 2-0?
So if you're in Canberra, it's going to be 2-0 tonight.
North Queensland, they've had a lot of stick. I think we might see a bit of a fight back.
If you're in the rest of Australia, you obviously know the score and realise how stupid our prediction was.
That's right.
Melbourne versus North Queensland on Friday. So that's a quick turnaround. Now, this is crucial. We're running into the final 2 weeks of the season. Melbourne are top. Paddy, you've got Melbourne, Gold Coast on 44, Sydney on 42. Two games to go.
Right.
Who's going to win the O-League Premiership?
I think Melbourne.
Melbourne?
Yeah, I think Melbourne.
They've got a home game against North Queensland, then they're away to Sydney.
That's right.
Okay, so you think Melbourne.
I think they've got a win against maybe North Queensland, or at least they get to hold Sydney to a draw and thus maintain their position.
Well, I don't know whether that's going to be enough, because the Gold Coast have got Wellington at home. You'd expect them to win that, wouldn't you? Wellington are useless away from home. Useless.
That 12th man of Gold Coast might carry him across. Yeah, it's possible.
And it is only one 12th man, isn't it?
So we know his name.
Yeah. Clive. And Gold Coast and Wellington, of course, are desperate to get that home final. So if they can get into fourth place... So they still need the points. Yeah. And if they get fourth place, they get a home final. They do pretty well at home.
Yep.
So that fourth place will be critical where they play the fifth best team. Sydney are playing Perth at Parramatta Stadium, trying to get an edge after 5 years on Sydney Rovers playing out west. What?
McBreen to score a hat trick?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, the way he's going. Right.
Yeah. Have Sydney blown it?
This is the beauty of the A-League. I've really enjoyed it this season. It's very, very close. And it's going to come right down to the last game. And it's going to come right down to three teams having the possibility to make the top spot and win the league.
I'm going near post to sending me to the Sydney versus Melbourne game. So we're desperate.
Yeah, that's nice of them to do that.
It is. No expensive spread. We're desperate for them to... First game of the season as well,
right,
add.
Of course.
With it being the last. So I think Sydney. I want to see it all on the line. So I'm hoping the Gold Coast slip up on the weekend, just for my enjoyment on the last day, Sydney Melbourne. That'll be fantastic. But anyway, Adelaide Brisbane. That's almost over. But Brisbane, they still reckon they've got a chance. I don't think they've got any chance.
No, I think it's all talk.
It's all talk. So Adelaide for the Asian Champions League. Their season's gone sadly wrong. Have they got any chance of?
I think it's all about their forward line. If they can restructure that, I think it'll be great for them to get out of this A-League season. It's been a nightmare of a season. And I think Vidmar's job is now on the line during the Asian Champions League.
I heard talks today, rumours today, that they're going to be a takeover expected.
Is that right?
A new consortium in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Consortium, no less.
That's a good sign, because the FFA want to get it off their hands.
Yeah, that's true.
Interestingly, Matthew Leckie, we mentioned him earlier, is he a bolter for the... he's a great news for Adelaide. He's come out of left field, maybe out of centre field.
The Leckie option, as you put it.
Australia don't have any pace. You mentioned Ben Kantrowski as a possibility. Yeah. He's a good player, but we don't need another Ben Kantrowski at this stage.
Look,
what we need is
if for some reason we weren't allowed to get any international players such as Rukavista, I would put Tommy Orr above Leckie simply for his crossing ability. You'd put him out on the wing, he'd get the ball in, Timmy Cahill up there, super Tim, goal. I just don't think that Leckie offers any option. He's got a little bit of speed.
Fastest player in the A-League.
Right. Thank you very much, Eamon. He's got a fair bit of speed, admittedly.
That's only my thought.
You don't know that.
No, I have no idea.
I just took that as a stat. I thought you'd done your research.
Yeah.
And he's got a bit of bulk about him. He won't be pushed over easy, which is a good thing. And I admit that, you know, he's a decent player, but I think we have better players. And I think Rukavista for sure should take over. He's got a better shot at goal. Leckie really has been playing up front for Adelaide, and look at Adelaide's season. He hasn't dealt with that pressure well. He's not a goal scorer.
He's done fantastic. He's only come into the... He's played behind the front two. He's only come in this season, and he's carried the forward line really on his own. Imagine what he could do if he's actually playing with players.
I don't know that he's carried the forward line. I think they've given him the forward line, and I think the forward line really hasn't performed.
Kuehl, Cahill, Bresciano, 10 minutes to go. Those guys are going to be tiring.
Right,
they're going to want to have a... You know, let's say it. You know, you can talk about Dutch football, but at the end of the day, they're going to want to have an outlet for those tired legs when they're chasing those German boys. Bring on Rukavica or Leckie, whichever one. You know, I take your point. Rukavica is probably ahead. But bring on somebody with pace, and that could be a moment.
I know we're coming to the end of the show, and I hate to fire off a firework, but Nicky Carl.
That is a firework. You're not going to bring him on with 10 minutes. He's had his chance.
No, come on. He can create something. He has got something. If you give him enough chances, there just might be something that he can spark, whereas I just don't think Leckie can spark anything.
Who's he going to spark it to? We don't have any forwards.
He's got some tricky footwork. He'll do a back pass.
Back pass?
Yeah.
No, we're going forward at this time.
Real Madrid Guti back pass against Deportivo? Brilliant back pass. Nicky Carl, he's just waiting to do the same thing.
For Crystal Palace?
Maybe Crystal Palace isn't the best team for him.
Okay, Paddy, you've had your say. Uh-huh. Matthew, Leckie, go. Pack your bags. You're not going anywhere. You're not straight. You're playing Asian Champions League football. Pantelidis is having a break. Paddy and me will keep going. We'll be here next week, and
indeed,
hopefully with Lucy. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're watching, may your team win. And 2 weeks ago in the A-League, whatever you're doing,
get there first, Nicky Carl.
That's it. That's the one. And then what I'll do is I'll play the promo, and then we'll be out of here, buddy. How's that?
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you third.